Y'all should know by now that we love progression over here. Let's chat about what everyday progress truly means to us. Whether it's hitting those small milestones or treating ourselves to a little something-something after a month of disciplined budgeting, progress is all about balance and staying motivated. And speaking of budgeting and reaching financial goals while still enjoying life's little pleasures, have you heard about Chime? Chime's checking account offers some amazing features that can help you along your financial journey. Let me tell you about one feature that really stands out to me. Chime's Spot Me. We've all been there, right? Dealing with overdraft fees can really throw a wrench in your financial plans. But with Chime, you can overdraft up to $200 with no fees. You heard me right, no fees. It's like having a safety net for those unexpected moments. Y'all, I had a friend who was always getting hit with hefty overdraft fees. It was a mess trying to sort it out. How do you really get ahead with that? But with Chime, you can avoid those headaches and get back on track with ease. Plus, Chime isn't just a bank, it's a community. With Boost, you can increase your SpotMe limit by receiving boosts from your friends. It's like having your financial back covered by your squad. So, if you're ready to take control of your finances and wave goodbye to those pesky monthly fees, open your Chime account today. Just head over to chime.com/bravado. That's chime.com/bravado. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Spot Me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in Spot Me and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details. This one is for my readers. Are you tired of endlessly searching for your next great read? Well, let me tell you about Book of the Month, where the thrill of discovery meets the joy of reading. Sounds fun, right? Okay, so what I adore about the Book of the Month is their meticulous curation process. With just a handful of carefully chosen titles each month, they've mastered the art of making your next read an easy decision. If you're tired of making decisions, let's make it easy. And let's not forget about the fun factor. Every aspect of their service is designed to celebrate the love of reading and make it even more enjoyable for members like us, down to the cute blue box the books are delivered in. Now let me tell you about the April pick. I've tapped into The Husband's a Novel by Holly Gramazio. And let me tell you, it's a pretty interesting read. It gets into the complexities of marriage and identity, and it's set against a backdrop of mystery and suspense. It has a pretty intriguing plot twist, and there's some character development that's pretty good too. So I think you might enjoy it. Pick it up if it interests you. And if you're ready to embark on your next literary journey, head over to bookofthemonth.com. And guess what? They're offering our listeners a special deal. You can use code PASTEL at checkout to get your first book for just $5 this month only. That's code PASTEL at bookofthemonth.com to get your first book for $5 with free shipping always. Come on, my readers. Don't miss out on the chance to discover your next favorite read with Book of the Month. Happy reading.
This is Germany.
And this is Brittany.
And this is the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
A motivating and encouraging podcast where we focus on building community amongst colorful women alike.
Join us weekly as we sit down and have candid conversations on various topics and issues surrounding self-care, self-love, health and wellness, spirituality, entrepreneurship, and much more.
And trust, if we don't have the answers, we'll call on our expert homegirls who do.
Our goal is to create a safe space for growth, inspiration, laughter, and love, free of judgment, in hopes that after you listen, you're a little more knowledgeable or at least a little more entertained than before.
It's homegirl vibes here. Real, raw, and a little funny.
A lot of fucking funny.
So thanks for tuning in to the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
Let's start the show, cuties.
Hey girls, welcome back.
Yeah.
Bottom of check.
Hey boo.
Bottom of check.
Hey.
Philippe,
yeah.
Okay.
Welcome back.
Yes, welcome back, girl. So,
wow, we missed you.
Right, every week.
Every week you're missed.
Every week. So, how's it going?
It's going good. How are you? How's your weekend?
My weekend was good.
Feels like a pretty relaxed weekend.
But it was kind of turned.
I feel like it was long. What happened this weekend?
Because we did the Friday night. Whenever you do a Friday night activity.
Oh, drags it out.
It extends it. So.
Okay, we have to start doing that.
Yeah,
more.
Out on the town on Friday night. Couple drinks, got to dance. See, and I wasn't expecting it. So we were initially going to go to a store opening. I thought it was going to be pretty chill. You know, store opening, look cute, walk around. But we found a hidden gem.
Little bar.
Of a bar, which had a great DJ. And let some twerks off. So anytime I get to dance, spirit.
Holy
spirit breakdown.
Oh, see you. Spirit breakout. Wow. Break our walls down. I was about to say, Holy Spirit, you are well. But that was a better one.
Spirit broke out.
So, yeah, that was a function.
Little dancing, and then we had our chapter holiday luncheon yesterday.
Yeah. Shout out to the girls, a.k.a. Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority.
Incorporated?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, it was a good weekend.
Yeah, and then today we went and worshipped the Lord, thy Lord.
Every Sunday.
So, yeah, my weekend was literally identical.
Yeah, literally.
Identical weekend, Friday
function. From Friday to now, to this very minute.
Yep. Literally identical weekend. So here we are again, new week, new tea.
Where we kiki with you and you kiki with we.
What up? Okay, so.
What happened in the world?
A few things happened in the world. So Payless is in the catfishing business. They opened up a store. I know in Santa Monica, like a quick little storefront.
Oh, it was in Santa Monica?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was here. I think it was in Santa Monica. I want to say it was in Santa Monica. Okay. As a social experiment. Girl, and they named the store Palessi.
Done.
And put out all their Payless shoes. Invited a bunch of social, what are those called?
Influencers.
Out to like check on the merchandise and be a part of this new store opening. Everybody's like, I can tell the shoes are quality. This is some quality material. I'm feeling it. All of the shit is fucking Payless.
Done. So did they really spend their coin or did they stop them before?
They did. People were buying.
But then
they
reimbursed them.
They did the refund. And then Payless was like, but you can get all of these right now at Payless. Like everything that, you know, that really says something about our culture.
You know, and that this is kind of separate, but it just brings me to think about how.
Labels?
Yes. How labels influence us. Like we'll quickly. Like, say we'll buy, like, a Gucci bag, and, you know, there's this thing where people, like, wear name brands, and usually when they wear name brands, they'll attack the designer. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they'll wear something that's not name brand, like a small business, and they'll never tag the designer, or they probably won't even spend their coin, but we'll break the bank over the designer.
A clear example is the dad shoe. You know, the kind of dad style.
The Balenciaga, Mason Margiela.
Yeah, like they took that design and flipped it. But you won't get no Skecher. You feel me? You won't go out and go get no Target brand, whatever that brand is.
Right.
You won't go out and get no, you know, no shit from
the real
Walmart.
Shoes that the dads be wearing.
You know, you ain't gonna go to Costco and pick up you a purchase you some dad
shoes.
I was
gonna say Champion, but even that brand got flipped
that.
And tumbled.
It's like they done flipped
that
brand.
Because you
know
Champion. Wasn't that a Payless brand?
Champion was one of the lower end brands and also Fila. Fila wasn't like a brand. They done flipped that. Now you gotta pay X amount of dollars. I'm like, wait. Back in my day, you didn't want to be caught in the Fila. That was for the Latinos and the Latina mommies. You know, nothing against those because I love the mijas and the mijos.
Dearly.
But you know what I mean? You weren't like, oh, I'm about to go out and get me some Filas. Now the Fila is a thing. I'm like, wow.
It's amazing what time will do. That shows you never give up. All it takes is a little time and your shit may be flipped and tumbled.
Listen, that tells you keep all of your shit from the day, back in the day, and restore it. Keep it because it's going to come a time where the shit you have now, it's gonna bounce back. Like 2-3 did with 4-5.
Bounce back.
And then... You'll already have it, and you don't have to go spend $60 on a championship shirt.
They're charging champion. $90. Yeah, Champion has really hopped into their bag.
I'm like, wow. But it only takes the right person to wear it. Just one person says, this is cool now.
No, we're in it.
We're doing it again.
Spending a check and getting it right back.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy how easily influenced we are. Like, the fact that we can just put some items in the hands of a couple of influencers and your shit will really skyrocket into new levels.
The Pelesi, dog. Like, wow. I would have been like, Pelesi?
I would have been doing my Googles like, Pelesi. Especially if it was a high ticket item. What's Pelesi?
Yeah.
Ain't no way you getting my coin without no research. Who the fuck is Pelesi? And 10 times out of 10, if I'm spending a check, calculated purchase. Ain't no way.
You're stupid.
But that's just me. I'm not.
They refunded them.
And I'm not an influencer either. I know they're in a different bracket.
You are a fucking influencer.
Influencing the culture.
Dead ass.
To take care of yourself.
The fuck?
That's what I'm influencing.
Okay.
Okay, what else is going on?
So, did you see the Tommy Lee and Travis Scott?
I did.
T.
So, the Astro World Tour kicked off.
Yeah, Astro World Tour kicked off. And Travis Scott had some pretty amazing stage features. He's doing what's called the 360, which Tommy Lee said that he did on his tour. He did. I mean, it's not an assumption.
Yeah.
It's not alleged. And he's like doing, and his, Tommy Lee, he has a drum solo where he's like drumming in on a circle coaster. And it kind of goes up and then comes back down. And then he also has the Crucify where it's a roller coaster on stage. And Travis Scott did both of those things.
So I saw that on the Shade Room, and I saw some people questioning, like, they were assuming that Travis Scott is not responsible for his set design. Like, I'm sure he has an artist. What do they call those people? A set designer
who likes to put together his set.
Right.
Come on.
So they were like, should we be coming at Travis or should we be coming at the set designer? But the thing is, this is the Travis Scott brand. So do you think the artist is responsible for doing the research to make sure this isn't like a copy?
That's the challenging part, because when we're at the point where we're doing some live shit and somebody says, hey, we think you guys should set up the set like this, I would hope that they're coming with some sort of new ideas.
Authentic and fresh
ideas. Or if it's not authentic and you're paying homage,
let me know.
Yeah, you know, we seen Tommy Lee do this. This would be a great way for us to pay, you know, homage to him. Something like that. It's kind of a double-edged sword. If he doesn't know, it's really fucked up, because now he's in the hot seat.
Right.
And if he came to his people and was like, I want to do this, and he didn't reach out or, you know, say something about it in the post, or he didn't even post it. I think other people are posting it.
Yeah, other people are posting it, of course, because, I mean, shit, he has a big tour. But I think he can clear the air by apologizing.
People in the comments were like, well, white people stole Rock and Roll from us. Like, Elvis stole Rock and Roll. Like, y'all take our shit and flip and tumble it all the time, and we don't say nothing.
I mean, and they have a point.
They have a point, too. And they're like, now Tommy Lee's in his feelings. But I'm like, that's something specific to him.
That's hella specific.
If somebody ripped something off that we're doing here, I'd be like, bitch, I don't give a freak.
Yeah.
Pay me what you owe me.
Yeah, like if somebody had a podcast called The Black Woman Bravado instead of The Black Girl,
it's
like,
not gonna sis, work. We got a thump. I gotta find out where you are, pull up on you, and we scrapping. We're gonna scrap like a motherfucker.
For our name.
Yeah, no, for our namesake.
Yeah.
It's just not cool. So how would you feel? What do you think?
I would feel pissed. I feel like Tommy Lee has the right to be upset.
Yeah.
Cause it sucks. I mean, he's the only one that's done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was coming.
He's
for
an
Travis
artist, and he's sensitive about his shit. Like, bruh, don't just come up pulling my tricks out of the bag and acting like you're the one who created it.
I know, because then you know who's going to be getting all the credit?
Travis Scott, because he's the one that's relevant.
Exactly. It's going to be like, oh, he's doing something so fresh and innovative and you know. No, I need you to be like.
So it's not cool. Like, I mean, I think that it's okay to be inspired.
Mm-hmm.
And to take elements from the greats from the past.
Yeah.
But I do believe that they should be credited. Just act like you're the creator of this. As long as you give credit, it's cool. Do it and the shit can fly. But once you start making it seem like you created it, then that's when it becomes an issue.
Give a nigga some credit.
Where credit is due.
I should have went up a little octave right there.
Yeah.
Credit. I don't really have a high voice, though. That's the difference.
Yeah. You're not a soprano.
No. We are the Altos. Remember that?
That's funny.
Really? Off the Proud Family? Oh, wait, was it the Proud Family? The Altos. It was like a group of four, like Mexican brothers or Spanish brothers.
I would for sure be a soprano.
We are.
I'm considering joining the choir at church. I feel like that's how the Lord wants me to serve. So,
well, I've been telling you already, and you were supposed to be there at 8 o'clock.
I know.
You were supposed to be there.
Look.
No, you look.
Next. Shit. Next week, you know, once I join the choir, I will be letting the homegirls know, hey, I'm joining the choir. If you're in the LA area, I would like you to come out to the church and support. Thanks. Dead. Okay, what else? Oh, another tea. Piece of tea. If you guys watch Love Is, which we do. We love the show.
Yeah, Love Is good. Tap in.
There's been some trouble on the forefront. So Mara Brock Akil's husband, I hate Salim Akil. Apparently is being sued by this woman who claims that they were in a 10-year relationship while he was married. Issue. And he was doing some sick shit to her.
What was he doing?
He was pissing on her.
I heard.
Ew. Sticking fingers up her behind. Nasty. Making her perform oral. And also, the bigger thing, that's huge. But the reason why she's suing him is because she's saying that they stole the idea, the concept for Love Is from a script that she created that I guess maybe they were supposed to be working on together. I don't know. But she's suing him, and now she's also suing OWN Network for copyright infringement. So I'm a little concerned because, you know, Mama Oprah, Auntie Oprah, she doesn't do well with fuckery and foolery. So I don't know.
Baby girl's about to get her bag and tumble it.
Yeah, so there might not be any more Love Is if these allegations are true. I feel fucking horrible for Mara if this is true, because what are you doing? But I heard the woman was also married during this time. I believe she still is married.
What?
And she also has 2 children with her husband.
Well, she probably said, baby, let me get this bag.
And she said that the reason why she didn't say anything earlier is because Salim was threatening to prevent her from getting roles and stuff like that. So this is sad to hear, because Love Is was a great show, and now it's been a little fucked over, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see how this pans out.
It's sad. It's sad. I'm hoping that peace to Rich Kid and all his family.
Done.
I don't know. So, all right, let's move on.
Okay, so
you can, again, catch up with everything Germany and Brittany and the Black Girl Bravado at theblackgirlbravado.com. If you prefer to listen to the episodes there, we have some new merch that the girls are going to love. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's the way to stay tapped in. Make sure you subscribe, because in 2019, we're going to be doing a couple things through the website. So we want you guys to be connected to us.
Yes. Sign up. Also, What we want you girls to do is please make sure you continue to rate and review this podcast, okay? Your ratings and your reviews help this podcast dramatically. Without you, there is no us. So,
yeah.
If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, take a moment, pause this podcast, slide on over there, and leave us a rating and a review.
That would be sweet of you. So, I hear you do these little rating reviews every week, the review of the week.
I do. That's what I do. We want to show your appreciation on air for the girls that have taken the time to leave us. I mean, the words that you leave, they just really warm our hearts. So this week we're going to be featuring Wine Through Life. Love the play on words. Mm-hmm. It's W-I-N-E. So she says, showing some East Coast love. Love our East Coast girls. We're going to make it there. We hope you're staying warm. Whew, when I look at that weather, I pray for you all. So she says, I am so in love with these two. I am new to the podcast world. Please forgive me. And came across Black Girl Bravado and fell in love. I am a faithful listener. You ladies are freaking hilarious. I love it. You all have let me know that I am not living my best life out here. LOL. I listen to you guys with the pen and paper ready. I love the gems you all drop and the information you all give. So glad I found you, babes. Love you lots, and you have a faithful follower in me. By the way, I have put all my friends up on your podcast. Keep up the amazing work, and you're appreciated. You are appreciated. Thank you, girl.
Woohoo!
You're appreciated too.
Love you.
I hope you're staying warm.
Yeah, we do. Okay, so
should we give our other shout out?
Sure, let it rip.
We have a special shout out since we're giving shout outs. We have a girlfriend listener by the name of Sylvia.
Hey, Sylvia.
Your girlfriend let us know that you are graduating this weekend from New Mexico State University
with
a bachelor's degree in community and counseling psychology. So we just want to let you know, congratulations.
Girl, you doing it.
You're Did doing it your thing. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate you for listening to the podcast.
Yeah. We hope that you're able to walk in your destiny and that if this is what you want to do, that, you know, your steps are ordered, sis.
Yes.
That everything falls into place for you and you're completely aligned with what you went to school and what it is that you end up doing after school and it all works out for you. Thank you so much for listening. I mean, that's to everybody, but thank you so much for listening. We love you for loving us. Yay.
Woo, turn up.
Yeah.
Well, it's Tuesday now, so you probably already turned up, but keep the shit going.
Yeah, keep the party going. All right. What else is tea?
Also, let's see.
We're going to be doing something different.
Oh.
This is completely different. This is not like us, so please support us in this endeavor.
Girls, we're really putting ourselves
ourselves will be put out on a platter. On Wednesday, so the day after this episode is released, which will be December, what?
Fourth?
Okay, fifth. The fifth or the fourth, whatever
the
is
fifth.
December.
It's the fifth.
Okay, December 5th on Wednesday. We want you all to tune in to our Instagram page.
Yes, because
we're going to be going live.
We're going live.
Oh, shit.
We live, baby. Yes, oh, so we're going to be going live. And on our live, what we plan to do is answer your questions that you have from this podcast episode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so after you listen to this episode, jot down a few additional questions. Maybe you have some more information. Maybe you want to share some personal experiences with this. And we're going to just talk about it live. This is how you get us live and direct, baby.
For the meantime.
On the spot.
Oh, God. So, okay, so don't have us pulling
we're
up
We're excited.
Looking stupid.
Don't have us sitting in live with two people waving their hands because we will exit out and act like it never happened. Don't think we won't.
Deuces, boo.
Not going to be there with two people. I know everybody has to start somewhere, but we're not starting there. Show up. Show up and show out, please. We're damn near begging you. Just like we beg for these ratings and reviews, couple it with the attendance for the live.
This girl.
Baby okay. Girls, show up.
All right.
Show out. So, yeah, we'll see you on Wednesday.
We will.
We may. Yeah, we'll see what we do. It's going to be our first time. We'll refine it as we go along. Lastly.
Mm-hmm.
We want to encourage you girls to join our Facebook group, the Black Girl Bravado Podcast Homegirl Hangout. That is another way where we will extend the conversations had on this podcast. So if you have a question about anything we talked about or just anything in general, that's your spot. That's your hub. Hop in there.
Get to chatting.
Put it out. Get to chatting. Let us know what you want to hear.
Yeah. Connect with some other like-minded women. It's good for you.
Yeah.
So.
That's like the cafeteria. If you're in high school, that's like where you meet at. It's the cafeteria.
Goodbye. Just stop. So last week's episode, episode 74, was Winter Blues Dealing with Seasonal Affective Disorder. In that episode, we discussed how change in the season can impact your mood. We outlined the common symptoms of seasonal affective disorder, also known as seasonal depression, and we provided tips and suggestions to help you work through those feelings of, despair during the darker months. Luckily, today here in California, in SoCal, it's nice. We have some sun out. It's like about 70-ish degrees, 68-ish.
Yeah, like high
60s. High 60s. It's for sure cool. It's the
cooler,
wind is blowing,
yeah.
But we still have sun. We were able to have lunch out near the water today with a nice view. So we're holding on to all of these little pieces of
hold on, don't let me go.
Sunlight that we get. So check out this episode if you're feeling like you're dealing with some seasonal affective disorder. Maybe you'll pull some tips away from that to help you manage during such a challenging time.
Yes.
All right. So this week, what are we talking about?
So this week.
75 fucking episodes in. Wow.
Wow. That's iconic.
Iconic.
75.
At the 100th episode, you might get a little twerk from me.
Cheers to us for being here, for being consistent, for showing up for ourselves, and also showing up for others.
And cheers to you for listening.
Yeah, because without you, again, there's no us. So we all done reached the milestone. 75, yay, we lit.
Yeah.
So for our 75th episode,
mm-hmm.
We thought it would be appropriate to do what we always do.
What is that? What do we always do?
Unpack.
Okay. Take That's your luggage out. Here. We're unpacking.
So, centered around our discussions we've been having about relationships, we thought it would be appropriate to talk about our attachment styles. Again, how our childhood, how our upbringing may affect how we act in relationships in our adulthood.
Yeah, how we manage this life. You know, it's so crazy how much childhood, just off a sidebar on that, how childhood impacts us or so much. Like, I don't know if I mentioned it here. My sister, she is a foster parent. She's mm-hmm. a foster mom, and she has three younger boys. And again, you know, she's doing the Lord's work.
For sure.
You know, she's 29 years old, and she has these three boys. And we just, like, advocate so strongly for them to have a good life, because you don't know how, like, your childhood impacts your self-esteem. Mm-hmm. You know, the way you interact with other people, how you feel about yourself, just being, your success is really shaped by those really, like, younger formative years. And I'm just always like, look, just like, she's never going to give up on them. Never. I don't have a song. Never going to give up. No.
Never going
to. That's
yeah,
a good one.
But I know.
Never gonna give it, never gonna get it, never gonna get it, never gonna get it. Okay,
yeah.
She's never gonna give up on him because she loves him so much. But I'm always like, you know, be patient with them, which she is. We just love them, and I just want them to have a good life, because I know how challenging it is if you have a sick-ass childhood.
It can really... it
make or break.
It really shapes...
Make or break.
Yeah, your destiny.
Make or
and
fucking
and
break.
And it's your responsibility, like, because, you know, when you're growing up, we're not aware. We're not self-aware, so it's... It's not until we reach adulthood, a lot of the times where we realize, fuck, what I did or what I didn't yeah. receive in my childhood really fucked me from the front
and the back.
The back. And now I have to figure out how to decode, change the trajectory of my life.
Wow.
And of course, it's tougher when you're doing it by yourself and when you're older.
Yeah, it's tough.
So, yeah, she's definitely doing the Lord's work. And it's great that she has you all to support her and rally behind her, to encourage
Definitely.
Her to keep going, because she can't do it alone.
Yeah. I'm like, girl,
so
don't
everyone's
worry.
Doing the Lord's work. Everyone who's involved
God's plan.
In the community, in that family.
We love those boys.
In this family, in my family.
Your family. We love them. So yeah, it's just tough. You know, childhood is, it sucks, because you really don't know as a child that, like, your childhood matters.
Because it's all you know.
It's just like you're just going through life.
You kind of got to take what you can get.
That's the only thing you can do, is take what you can get. Shit, you can't be making a request. Hey, want to sub out my dad and bring in someone else. Hey, right. Want to get rid of this thing. Oh, it just sucks. So, yeah, that's what we're talking about today. Attachment.
That's how we're talking about. We're talking about how the relationship with our parents or our caregivers creates an attachment style, which ultimately determines how we handle close relationships later. So we're going to be focusing on romantic relationships today, but of course, this can mean non-romantic platonic relationships as well. We're just focusing on the love.
Yeah, and if you have anything to add, make sure you jot it down. This is your time, because we're going to get nitty and gritty in the live chat.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
That's what we're doing. So I think as women of color,
because that's who we are.
That's who we are. That's what we are. Maybe we can speak about how, like, maybe your experiences within your mom or dealing with your mom have shaped the person you are. Do you feel like you've, you know?
Yeah, I think it's, I know.
Yeah.
My experience with my mom has definitely contributed to the woman that I am today. I mean, because as women, young girls, we're not women then, but as young girls, we look to our moms to see, like, how their self-esteem, how they assert themselves, how they deal in relationships. And I feel like that's where I gained a lot of my sense of independency from.
Mm-hmm. Which we spoke about in the daddy issues.
Yeah, episode. And the daddy issues. Also how my quick tongue.
Slice and dice,
which can sometimes be used to a fault. Not. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Just gotta say.
Yeah.
But yeah, and like my self-awareness, that a lot of that I attribute to my mother and how she raised me. How about you?
I mean, same. Damn near identical upbringing.
Yes.
So I think so. Like, independence, for sure, I get that from my mom. Mm-hmm. You know, like we mentioned, it's always been my sister, my mother, and I. And she just, like, thugs through and gets shit done. And it's like, I'm going to take care of it. It's going to be right.
And I mean, they really get
you
it done,
move
too.
Mountains.
It's not the bare minimum. They move mountains and cause walls to fall.
He
like,
falls
needs
walls.
Met. Needs met and exceed.
Yes.
So that's
yes.
just, with that's admirable.
Power.
But And in the next breath, we also need our father. So the role of the father mm-hmm. in the presence of the father in the household affects our self-worth and whether we decide to settle or not. Because we receive, essentially, we receive in the perfect home that love and that affection from our father. And he meets our needs before we are able to engage in a romantic relationship with another male or another person. That's our first point of contact for a romantic relationship. No, not romantic, but receiving love from a male.
From the opposite sex.
Yes, receiving love from a male. So,
in which I didn't have.
Same. For my a long stepdad time. Didn't yeah. come into my life. We've already shared this, but I've had love from a male that's not romantic, but it was not from birth.
Yeah.
It was a choppy doppy, a chopped and screwed situation.
Yeah. I mean, you have the like males who come into your life and they serve as a good father figure. But again, same, you know, my dad died when I was 9 months old. Done. Ugh. Cut that off immediately, mm-hmm. you know, and then it was just my mom and my sister and I. And I feel like that also imposes the ability for me to be so independent because I haven't had like a male specifically be like, yeah, I got
providing
this.
Your needs
off the rip. Yeah. You know, my mom has some great partners like mentioned before, mm-hmm. but I'm just like, girl, he ain't my daddy.
Shut up.
Right.
You ain't my daddy.
We be quick to say you ain't my daddy.
Stepdaddy.
Stay in your place.
So the truth is a lot of people don't receive adequate or consistent engagement from their first established relationships, their parents. And this causes people to feel unworthy or it's harder for them to accept love from people or even to give love because your first relationship was a little bit
shaky. It was shaky, but as you mentioned, to piggyback on that, it's our own responsibility to determine what it is that we need regardless of what we received or didn't receive as children. That's what this podcast is doing. You know, it helps us identify, ooh, frog in your throat, huh? Helps us identify what it is that we need, what it is that we can do better, how it is that we can continue to grow. Because some of us aren't fortunate to have the Cosby before the Bill Cosby right. fall from glory.
Cosby the show.
Yeah. You know, that upbringing where you have mother, father, well-to-do parents, you have well-to-do siblings. Sometimes we come from dysfunction,
yeah.
you know, and there's dysfunction in the home and it's our responsibility to grow past the pain, grow past the hurt and figure out what is it we can do to be better.
Right. It's important to acknowledge like what happened. We're not oblivious to what happened, but at the same time, we can't live there.
Can't live in that
Once you're
space.
Aware, you have to take the necessary actions and take the necessary steps to make change and live the life that you ultimately want to live. We can't just be like, well, I had a fucked up childhood, so this is the way I am and I can't do nothing about it.
Dead.
You'll be miserable forever, beloved.
You'll be making excuses, you know, and we see that a lot when you don't, when like, remember when you mentioned therapy, like there has to be some therapy, there has to be some healing for our families because there's trauma that happened, you know, like for instance, my grandma, I talk about my grandma all the time, but she had her first child when she was 14. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not much life that has been lived in 14 years to start bringing other kids into the world
right.
and start mothering them. You might can give them love, but there's a lot of things that you fall short on. And the things that like my mom may be resentful from my grandmother for doing when she was the fourth child at 20.
Right.
It's like, we got to work through it. Gotta get some
gotta
healing.
Work through it because you know what?
You end up carrying it.
Yeah, for sure. Like you'll be 50 Life years long. Old. And this is the same conversation that I have with my mom. You'll be 50 years old, still holding on to your childhood. And that might not even be how your mother is acting today in present times, but you're still harboring those feelings to where you can't even be in the present and appreciate what you have right now or even work to rebuild because you're still mentally stuck in your childhood. A full-grown adult, but mentally still harboring and festering those ill feelings from childhood.
Yeah.
We can't. That's not the way to live.
No. And that's why we gotta break every chain.
This is a holy episode. Shit.
We gotta break all the chains. Shit. What is that, Tasha Cobbs?
Don't ask me. I just sing and sometimes I don't know the artist.
It's okay, I know.
I know chains be broken though.
Break every yes. chain. Break
so let's talk about the different attachment styles okay. so people will know what we're talking about here.
Getting to it.
If you don't know, there are three major attachment styles. Now, sometimes there's different like
subdivisions to these attachment styles, but there's three main attachment styles. So the first one is a secure attachment. So someone that has a secure attachment style, they believe and trust that their needs will be met. And this is, again, established in childhood. So if you have a secure attachment style, most likely you had a parent that was quick, sensitive to your needs, and very consistent.
Yes.
And as a child, that allows you to be secure. You feel safe to explore. You're generally a happy child because of the way that your parent raised you and loved you and met your needs.
That's a good one. I mean, ideal.
Yeah, secure is the ideal attachment style.
Okay, and then there's also the avoidant attachment. So subconsciously, you might believe that your needs won't be met. So the parent probably was distant, was disengaged, and thus the child is not explorative and emotionally distant.
Yeah, this could probably be a parent that maybe was preoccupied, maybe working 9 to 5 just to stay alive, coupled with we don't know. There's different...
Yeah, I mean,
all scenarios, kind of, but ultimately this is a result of that.
Yeah.
And then lastly, there's the anxious attachment. So someone with an anxious attachment cannot rely on their needs to be met. So usually this person has a parent who was inconsistent, sometimes very sensitive, sometimes neglectful. And in turn, the child becomes very anxious, insecure, or angry.
I hate to see the babies like this.
But can you imagine, like...
I can't,
but I've seen.
I've seen and I've heard.
Yeah.
I've done all.
So let's talk about how these different attachment styles affect people in romantic relationships.
Let it rip.
So the way these different attachment styles work are they determine how you perceive and deal with closeness and emotional intimacy in relationships. Your ability to communicate your emotions and needs and also listen to and understand the emotions and needs of your partner. How you respond to conflict.
Yes.
And then the expectations about your partner in the relationship.
It's crazy that, like, just little things like, again, how your childhood will impact everyone you interact and engage with. Not just your familial relationships. Like, this shit is really going to determine how you engage with the person that's the closest to you. The person who's supposed to love you. Forever.
Yeah.
Or maybe not even forever, just in the meantime. So let's talk about those secure individuals.
So if you have a secure characteristics of a secure mommy, we're talking about mommies. Yeah. Secure mommy in relationships.
So an individual with this attachment style usually feels safe and protected in relationships. They don't smother their partners. They can allow for their partner to have an independent life, basically separate from their own. They can accept their partner's shortcomings, the shit that might not be right. You can still take it with a grain of salt. You are typically kind of responsive to your partner's needs. You listen and rarely get defensive, and you are able to de-escalate conflict by problem solving, forgiving, and apologizing. So if you have the secure attachment style, these are probably the characteristics that you're dealing with or that you see yourself having, even before we tell you guys how to figure it out. Like, if that resonates with you, that's likely you. That I would say that's me. Mm-hmm.
And then if you have an anxious attachment style in a relationship, you probably become very unhappy and worry about being too much or too little for the person that you're dating. You give up your needs to please and accommodate your partner, the people pleaser. You may place high hopes on your partner, but you don't even take the time to see, hey, can this nigga do what I want or what I need? I'm right. So busy worried about what I need to adjust to please him or her, but I haven't even taken the time to see if my needs will be met.
Yes.
This type of person bonds quickly and attaches to people, to potential versus reality. Very clingy, you're codependent. We talked about that. You're defined by your relationship. So usually if there's no relationship, there's no you. You might bounce from relationship to relationship.
The serial monogamous.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I call them.
And lastly, you may play games or manipulate your partner to get attention by withdrawing, not returning phone calls, threatening to leave, doing little childish shit.
Yeah, we're too old.
Because ultimately, you're anxious, like, okay, I need to pull some tricks out of my hat before he pulls some tricks out of his.
Yes, right.
And leave me in the dust.
Right.
So you're playing hella games.
So lastly, we have the avoidant. So this sounds exactly what this is exactly what it sounds like. So you might avoid relationships altogether or keep people that are new to you at a distance. You're doing the arm's reach method.
Yeah.
Keep them as far as you can throw them vibes. So you might sabotage romances because you might be afraid that your partner will leave. So you do it first. It's like, okay, I don't want that person to hurt me. So I'm going to just get on before they could say or do anything that makes me feel uncomfortable. You might act self-sufficient and self-reliant and you aren't totally comfortable sharing all of your feelings. You might focus on minor flaws in a partner, like small things. Tiniest little baby things.
Yeah, I don't like the way he eats.
Yes, things like that. I remember when Hillary on the Fresh Prince was like, when he talks, he has a bulge in his neck.
Yeah.
Remember when they were at the
Hillary
opera?
Hillary was so annoying.
Yeah, so you might avoidantly attached people can be like basically divided into two categories. So there's the dismissive avoidant, where this person is emotionally distant from themselves, or they distance themselves from their partners and they're overly focused on themselves. Or you might have the fearful avoidant, which is basically a person who's afraid of being too close or too distant from their partners. That one is tricky. The fearful avoidant is like, oh shit.
Yeah, you don't know what you're doing.
Rolling the dice. Rolling the dice there.
So in the world, based on research, apparently there's 50% of the population that's secure, 20% of the population that's anxious, and 25% of the population that's avoidant. So we wanted to see where we fell in the mix. We were curious to see, hey, what's my attachment style? So we decided to take a quiz that we're encouraging you to take as well. We'll have the link down in the show notes, but we went to psychcentral.com. They have a really quick and easy quiz. It won't take more than like 5 to 10 minutes of your time. And so this quiz is designed to help you to help give you some insight on your romantic attachment, your style of romantic attachment. So there's two sets of 20 statements describing feelings in a romantic relationship, and then there's a single choice about your attitude towards romantic relationships. And after you complete this assessment, they ask you some questions, a few basic questions. Then you get your results. So we both took the test, and I screenshotted it. My attachment style is secure and happy.
Same.
So my score for relationship avoidance was 60.5.
Mine was like 70.
And my relationship anxiety was 72.
Oh, wait. That was my relationship anxiety. I didn't screenshot it. What a dummy.
It's okay.
That ain't no problem.
So since we got the same thing, I'll just read.
Yeah.
What it is. So it says, based upon your answers, it appears that your anxiety about losing relationships is greater than your tendency to avoid them defensively. Given the degree of your difference, this is not likely to be a problem. But if you are having difficulties, they are most likely in these areas. Your partner may occasionally complain that you are sometimes possessive or clingy. I'm not clingy, but I guess I can't be possessive. What's mine is motherfucking mine.
Yeah.
Period.
Period.
Shit. I don't want there to be any confusion in that area.
Yeah.
Relationships may sometimes feel frightening, or you may find yourself thinking about the relationship more often than your partner. That's kind of odd. So keep in mind that some amount of anxiety about your relationship is healthy, which means it's okay to have a little. You know, we're not.
Yeah, we're human.
Yeah, we're human.
Yeah.
For instance, it's probably good to be nervous if your partner stays out very late most nights. You're goddamn right.
Yeah.
A couple nights, okay, but the back-to-back, the fuck? It ain't that much to do in the world. Get your ass in and sit down. Be humble. Sit down. You gotta okay, sit. Wait. You gotta wait. Sit down.
Wait.
What?
Be humble. Sit down. Be
humble. Yeah, like, you know, I don't mind you going out, you know, every now and then, but if you're going out every weekend back-to-back and
there's the Drake.
And there's no,
I hate
some wee time.
Not some you, not some me, but some weed time. I hate when, like, Brett is out late. I'm like, hey. I'm checking. I'm like, are you good? Like, wrap up, nigga. Wrap up, get back.
And you know what's funny?
What?
I can have my shit lined up because I'm not usually in the house that much. But during the weeks I am. But, you know, I be having plans on the weekends.
Yeah, you do.
To do stuff. But let a nigga tell me he has some plans. I'm like, it's a solo event.
Say.
Like,
there's no plus one.
You pull the,
What are you doing?
Where are you going? And you'll be out all around at a luncheon, a holiday luncheon, a girls' night.
Please,
but let
tell
a nigga
me
pop up with plans. What are you doing?
I literally had that same like thing happen to me. You know how we dip and flip the street. Okay. Out every weekend, we're doing something. There's a little something to be done.
Yeah.
Literally,
plans can be made.
My boyfriend says, like, oh, I'm gonna go and hang out with some coworkers. I'm like,
the coworkers.
Fuck? You know, I was like, the fuck? Fuck you doing? He's like, you go out all the time.
And
I'm like, I don't give a fuck. You don't go out all the time, though.
That's right.
You don't. I do. Leave that to me.
Let me do the going out.
Let me do the twerk something. You sit home like you supposed. I was like, oh, okay. You know, I did. Once I called two times in a row, boop, boop, there's an issue.
Really alarm. I've been down for too long.
He was like, literally, I was saying bye to these people when you called.
Right.
I was like, saying bye. Girl, stay home.
Please.
Shit.
So, we said all that to say it's healthy
to
have
a little anxiety.
Some amount of anxiety about the relationship, because you can't let niggas think that they're just free-flowing.
No.
Hey, letting you be independent, but still, don't forget, there's someone at home waiting.
I'm at home waiting, not just a someone.
So, we both got secure and happy as our attachment style. So it says, this means that you are likely to have happier relationships and be better able to sustain commitments than people who have an insecure attachment style. You're likely to have more positive emotional experiences and to be more happy and outgoing in interpersonal relationships. You will be more likely to express what you really feel. No issue there.
No.
You are more likely to be able to depend on others when it is appropriate and yet able to function autonomously in your own sphere when that is appropriate. You are also more likely to raise children who themselves will have a secure attachment style.
Hey, dirty.
Wop! So, again, if you want to take this quiz, we're going to have it down in our show notes so you can figure out what your attachment style is.
And after you take the quiz, come back here for this little bit. So maybe you're not comfortable with your attachment style. Maybe you're like, you know what? I need to flip some shit. I need to flip and tumble some shit. My childhood was one way and I'm not comfortable with what I'm dealing with today. Then, you know, there might be some recommendations for you to change your attachment style. So you can alter your style to be more or less secure through experiences and conscious efforts. Firstly, you can seek therapy, right? And relationships with other people who are able to give you a secure attachment.
Yeah.
That matters.
That matters because say you have an anxious attachment style. As soon as you pair up with somebody secure, and if granted they give you the time and they're willing to put in the work to sustain this relationship, then that can change your attachment style because now you are able to receive from someone who's secure and they're giving you love and affection in a different way.
Ain't nothing like being with somebody shitty and you already anxious or feeling bad. Like,
but that's what happens. Usually if you have an anxious or an avoidant attachment style, like avoiding people attract anxious because they like that. Like I'm already avoiding you, anxious all over the place. That's even more reason for me to get an out, to get out of this relationship.
Mm.
Or, you know, you're not really requiring much of me.
Mm.
Or as soon as you do.
Yeah.
As soon as you do, I can be gone and I can attribute it to you being anxious. And usually that's why people that are anxious or avoidant have an issue finding people that are secure, because secure people are more than likely linking up with secure people.
Yeah.
It's just who we attract. We attract who we are. And that's why we need to work on healing and fixing ourselves.
Yes.
Because once you heal and fix yourself and become more secure in yourself, then you attract what you are.
Yeah, you're a magnet. You bring in the shit that you deserve.
So we're not telling you these gems so that you can be like, let me change my anxious or avoidant nigga.
Right.
You know? The key is for you to change. And if they change and they hop on board, great. But the relationships that don't make the shift with you, they fall by the wayside.
Mm-hmm. There it is. So here
self-help.
Are a few other
self-work.
Self-help without the self-helpiness. You're going to do it on your own. So here are a few other tips. You have to heal your shame and raise your self-esteem, like Brittany says, because this ultimately enables you not to take things personally. If you're already doing the work and you're already working on the bad bitch that's on the inside, you're resurrecting her. If she's been buried down and you're pulling her out like it's Easter, then it's going to be good. You know, if you're resurrecting that power in the inside, then you'll be able to navigate this space, right? What else can we do?
Learn to be assertive. So we're not just taking whatever we get.
No.
Assert yourselves.
Yes.
Make sure you're expressing your needs, your wants, and your desires at the forefront. Hey, nigga, if this is what we're going to be doing, if we're going to do this, this is what I need. And then you turn around and you listen to what they need.
Mm-hmm.
Partnerships.
Yeah.
I'm not just giving you all you need and I'm sitting over here in the corner.
Seriously.
Huddled up.
Can't do the Anita Baker giving you the best that I got and I'm not getting anything. Mm-mm. Baby. Also, in a nutshell, you know, piggybacking on that, it's also about identifying and honoring. You know, before you get assertive, let's identify and honor what we need emotionally. We're getting assertive, but we're also making sure that we recognize what it is that we need to be assertive about.
Mm-hmm.
So do yourself work, journal, tap in with that little one in the inside.
The inner woman,
hear her voice and honor her needs.
And also, you're going to take risk.
Mm-hmm.
Risk being authentic and direct. Okay, I know a lot of times we shy away because we don't want to run people off. But that's not how we progress.
No.
We're not playing games. We're not manipulating people. We're just being direct and authentic and letting people know, hey, when you're fucking with me.
Take it or leave it. This is her.
What did Tank say? Something, when you're fucking with me. I don't know the rest of the words, but I just know that he says, when you fucking with me. Basically, this is what you get when you fucking with me. So are you fucking with me or not?
Or not.
Because I can't be changing. That's too stressful.
Doing the flip-flop, the shape-shifter. Okay.
I can't.
So back to that self-work. We're practicing acceptance of ourselves and other people so that we can become less fault-finding. If you're the kind of person where every little knick-knack, paddywhack gets on your nerves,
you'll never find anyone.
Because we all have our little things. I have my little things. As perfect as you might think I am, I have my little things.
Yeah, we all do. We all have imperfections.
Yeah, where like my boyfriend is like, hey, I hate that.
Right, or,
like,
you're so annoying. Why you do that? You mean, or you know stuff. It's either
I'm mean.
I get I'm the mean one too,
day,
you know
and
what?
Then I'm super really, sweet another day.
Yeah, because if I was mean,
you wouldn't be here.
Duh.
He does the soup. Like, why you gotta be mean? And then also, I'm too clingy. I'm like, boy, make up your mind. When I'm trying to give you some love and affection, don't get to throwing around the C word. And I ain't talking about cunt. That's the other C word.
Right. Lastly, learn to stop reacting and learn to resolve conflict and compromise from a we perspective. Okay?
We.
It's a partnership. If you're in a relationship.
Any relationship.
There's a we. It's not I, me, me, me. It's we. And we ain't speaking French.
Come on. I heard you say we, girl. I heard you speak French now. Yeah. What is that?
I hear you talking about we a lot. Oh, you speak French now.
Hey. Give it to me. Is that Party Next Door?
Sure is.
Party.
So, don't do the self-sabotage because a lot of the avoidant and insecure people, you be fucking up stuff before it can even really take off. No me go.
Yeah. We ain't out here doing that. Okay.
You bring your biggest fears to reality. Like, oh my God, say your man is out. And it's not like out all the time. Say he did go out to do his little independent thing. And you call him 50 times. Now he's like, you know what? Yeah, I am done with her. Because she done called me 50 times. What?
The 50-11. Nothing. I'm just saying.
Oh, I'm like, girl, what?
Nothing.
So
hopefully that helps. We like to give you guys a new perspective on some shit. So
we like to provide you with answers.
Answers and assistance. Mm-hmm. Heard you speak French now. All right, now it's time to pick up your pen.
We're dropping a gem.
So this week we are talking about the Alex and Annie bracelets. Which we love.
Essentially,
these Alex and Annie bracelets are made of recycled material. So, you know, it kind of goes through this aging process. It's eco-friendly jewelry. It is infused with positive energy. So you're getting all of the love and care that you need. And they come in like little symbols, various symbols, and you ask the universe to kind of pull you into what it is you need. And they serve as little reminders as to what you need.
Yes, it's like a modern-day charm bracelet.
Yes, modern-day charm bracelet, knick-knack, paddywhack.
Yeah, so they have so many, I don't know how many, but hundreds of different
designs and things that you
jewels,
can pick.
Charms that you can pick from. They're great gifts.
I love to gift an Alex and Annie bracelet.
Yeah, they're great gifts. You can give it to a girlfriend, a homegirl, a mom, a cousin, a sister.
I've gotten some for my honey.
What they think about when they think of you.
Yes.
And what you think about what... You know what I'm trying to say.
And they're so cool to collect.
What you think about when you think of them.
It's yeah, so they're, cool they're to collect.
Cute for it. They make a cute little stacked effect.
Yes, I love. I need to find mine.
So you don't put like a charm on the bracelet. Each bracelet has its individual charm. I know the old school Juicy Couture type. Remember those?
Bring them back.
The Juicy Couture charm bracelet where you would just get the initial bracelet and then you would clip on the charm.
The different charms.
And then you'll have that.
Like a Pandora ice bracelet. On the wrist. Like a Pandora.
In the kitchen wrist motion like a stir fry. But these are separate individual bracelets for each charm.
Which is why they make such cute gifts.
Yeah, and so they're really cute arm candy. I have, I think, 5.
I think I have, like, I got a bunch.
I was gifted with my first one, and then it just took off from there.
Yeah, I think I have, like, maybe 8 or 10.
Yeah, they're so cute. So Alex and Annie, they have them in the malls. They have a website. What is it? AlexandAnnie.com?
Yep, you can buy them at Nordstrom.
And the cool thing about it is they come in either gold or silver. So whichever you prefer, you can rock them in gold, you can rock them in silver.
Yeah, it's just a nice
and it goes gift. Along with the rest of your jewelry that you're wearing.
Yeah, so grab you some Alex and Annie bracelets. It's perfect time for the holiday. Gift yourself one, little self-care, or gift your homegirls, your family, parents, whoever.
Yeah, we'll share ours. I know for sure I have a Hams of Hand, which is like protection from evil.
Mm-hmm.
A pineapple that you gave me, that's like friendship.
Mm-hmm. I gave you one that says, because I love you.
Because I love you, that's so cute. And I have a queen bee.
Yeah.
And I have something else.
I have a Jesus one, because God.
She's covered.
Yeah, I have one that is about balance. It's my zodiac sign. I think I have a lotus flower. I have...
That's got it out the mud.
Yeah, I got that out the mud. I got one that's a family tree for my family. I have one. I have a bunch. I can't remember them all. The girls got me one. We'll show you them. Our Neos got us.
Yeah, they got me the queen bee one.
I can't remember which one they got me. It's in that box right there.
I think they got... I don't know. You showed me it.
I have so many. Yeah. I think I have like a... Yeah. So yeah, we'll show a little gif or
something. Check our story. Our gym highlight.
Yeah. So now it's time for the girlfriend gag. And the girlfriend gag is where you can send your comments, questions, your concerns, your tidbits to us at contact@theblackgirlbravado.com. You can also slide into our DMs on Facebook, on Instagram, wherever you follow us up. And send us your tea and we'll gag about it here on the show. So it's and then sometimes we put up stories and ask questions. And then you guys respond and we talk about it here.
Yeah, so we have two that we're going to do today. We're going to do one from our stories.
Let it rip.
And then we're going to do one that was sent to our DM. So this one says, how do I get rid of being attached to someone emotionally, even if they aren't in my life anymore? Like, they don't care about me anymore, but I care for them.
You probably remember when people were like, do an altar, girl. When they were like, remember we were talking about the breakup episode, doing an altar?
Oh, yeah. What was it? Burn is here or something. I forgot what it was called.
I would say that if you're an empathetic and compassionate person, you don't have to completely like dismantle your affection for the person. But if it's not beneficial anymore, then girl, you got to put yourself first. You have to put those emotions of like, oh, I still care about you. If especially if they don't care about you anymore.
That usually jumpstarts my process.
The cables are like, on my engine.
It's still tough, but if you don't give a damn about me and you're making it obvious that you don't,
then there's
I don't
no
really
care.
Have any choice but to not care about you.
Yeah, I mean, you can want the best for people and their well-being, yeah, hope that they don't,
but they
you
can't
know,
consume my thoughts.
Can't. So you need to sit down and say, is this person like just out of my life and we're not in contact anymore, but I still want them to be well? That's one thing. But if you still are like doing the most to try to keep an interaction going,
right,
dead it.
It depends, because like you said, there's nothing wrong with caring from people.
Yeah, of
and
course.
Still allowing yourself to be from a distance, to yeah, be distanced from them, that's fine. But again, if it's causing you to not be able to function or maybe not be able to move on and start a new, fresh, new relationship, or it's hindering you, we got to figure.
Let that nigga go.
We got to figure out how to break these chains. So
I'm not
going to
say
gonna
break
be,
every chain.
Right.
Again.
It's going to be a gradual process, because everybody moves. Some people can do the cut off and move on and be done quickly. And then there's others like this baby girl where it takes a little bit more time.
A little time, beloved.
But the things you can do in your power are, let's do the unfollows from social.
Yes.
Let's delete threads. Let's delete, like, you know, the little small memories that we can control from of this person so that we can begin the healing process. Because when you have constant reminders, you're watching their story all the time, maybe you're looking on their page, it'll be a little harder to clear them from your memory, from your psyche. So,
and from your energy.
Yeah. So
because you continue to let them in and let them consume a little piece of you. And we're done with that.
They are part of your day-to-day. So
especially in 2018 going into 2019, because we're basically here. We're done with that. We off that. Remember, we off that in 2018 to 19, like a school year.
And also, maybe this episode helped you. It maybe helped you become more aware about your attachment style. So should you enter a new relationship, when you enter a new relationship, because you're young, we're not going to have these issues anymore.
Goody.
We're not. So now we're going to move on over to the DMs.
Slide on in that thing.
Direct message. I always feel like a mom when I hold my phone like this.
Dead.
I'm trying to locate it. Sorry.
Dun, 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 dun. That's our theme music. Frequently. For right now, are you figuring this out? Instead of the Jeopardy. The do,
do, do, do. Lord, do we have this many? Okay, found it.
Okay, let it rip.
This baby girl said that she feels like it's hard to distinguish between having an unhealthy attachment and just being really close with someone. So it makes her hesitant to have a relationship with someone in fear of developing an unhealthy attachment. This sounds like avoidant. You don't even want to develop an attachment because you fear that it's going to be unhealthy.
You got to break down those walls, especially if it's somebody you like or, you know, someone that you're considering being, you know, intimate, not like sexual, but exchanging energy on an intimate level, then you got to allow yourself permission to feel what you feel. And you know what, sis? You're strong enough to bounce back. If some shit really happens and it doesn't work out, you're strong enough to do the bounce back. You ain't seen bouncing back.
Also, don't let fear prevent you from taking chances.
Yes.
A person that hasn't made any mistakes hasn't taken any chances, and that's not good. If you're making mistakes, that means that you've been fearful and you've taken some chances. Take the chance. It may flop, but guess what? It also may flourish.
Mm-hmm.
So don't stop yourself from getting what might be rightfully yours. Take the chance. I mean, we don't know until we try. All I can say is give it a chance. If you notice signs of it being unhealthy, pick up on red flags early on, nip it then, and move on.
That's all you can do.
But don't hinder yourself or prevent yourself from really experiencing the love that you deserve because you're fearful of unhealthy attachment.
You ain't seen bouncing back.
Just, you know, be aware, practice discernment.
Discernment is key.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be okay. We all have bumped our heads and that's how we get to where we are today.
Is this Beyonce in the yellow new?
Mm-hmm.
My God. Okay, and that's how we'll close this. Wow.
So, baby girls, we hope that you enjoyed this episode. We hope that it was helpful for you. We hope that we're all working towards being more secure in our relationships because we fucking deserve, you know?
I deserve.
We deserve to be loved and to love securely.
Yeah.
If a nigga is over here, you want to be over here, you better give me what I deserve. Otherwise, go.
Then we're done. Period. Whop! Okay.
Okay, so we'll be back next week, baby girls. Also, we better see you on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
If we don't see you on Wednesday, we'll be coming back here next week with some words.
It'll be 6 p.m. on Wednesday, so.
So that's 9 p.m. for our East Coast mommies.
Hopefully it's not too late, but y'all know we work regular white man gigs and we got to get home and get settled and shit. So 6 is the best we can do. Giving you the best that I've got.
Yeah, we'll see you at 6 until we can, you know, amp up the support to where we can expire at these white man gigs. If you want to give us that, if you want to figure out some resources for that, we can come on a little earlier. But until then, we can only do what we can do.
Period. Okay. Love you. Bye.